Today on Real Radio.
His name was Adrian, incredible speaker, that it was recorded. Josephus writes that when this guy began to speak, the Colosseum and the circus and Roman area, they would empty. When they would empty out of the Colosseum to go run and hear this guy speak, he would speak, I don't know how they did it, but they'd speak up to 80,000 people. This guy'd stand there and open his mouth, and he was paid exorbitant amounts of money to speak.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're looking at the first part of chapter 6, and this passage is really valuable in that it instructs us in the area of conduct in the workplace, among other situations. Our teacher has titled this presentation, Godliness and Contentment. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
And whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not to men. Isn't that good? That sets you free, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your reward of an inheritance for you from Jesus himself as you serve him. Isn't that great? You'll be backed up by Jesus himself. The dividends will be from God. And so now we talk about having believing bosses. Having a Christian boss. Oh man, I got a Christian boss, great. I can just play praise music at the top of the stereo level. I can just kind of be, you know, I can just, you come back from lunch. Sorry boss, I'm late. I was really in prayer. God was speaking to me big time. I'm certain that you understand all this. And well, I was just seeing visions and all kinds of neat things. Hey, shut up and get to work, you know? If you have a Christian boss and you're a Christian, the Bible will tell us in this verse that you need to pour your heart even more into that job. I want to mention this right now. I think the Christian and only the Christian ought to have what is called, and nobody really mentions these words or this word anymore because it's really not popular. But the Christian towards his employer and to the company and even to America needs to be one of what's called a fiduciary relationship. Fiduciary, which means all that this company stands for, I will work my hardest to produce the best product. I'll even ditch my break to see to it that deadline's met. Why? I'm concerned about the bottom line. Why? Because God is my God. Jesus has put me here, and I'm going to be the most awesome example to this business that they've ever seen. Why? So that the gospel's not blasphemed. So that when somebody comes to you and says, do you know God? Well, yeah, I sure do. Want to know him? Well, I was just asking if you knew God because you work so poorly. I was just wondering. I saw a Bible on your desk. You know, what's the deal? Or do they come and say, what's with you? What is with you? I shared this story with you before, but when I started in 1981 down at Baxter there, I was working, doing my job, scared to death that I was going to lose my job and all this stuff. I mean, I just didn't know what I was doing, so I was just doing everything, you know, and working along and doing my thing. This lady came up and she goes, can I talk to you? And we go into this room, she pours her guts out about her marriage and all this stuff. And I'm going, oh, wow, you know, what do I do? And the Lord began to give me scriptures, you know, and I was sharing them with her. And then a couple of months of this went on, and the personnel department called me downstairs. They called my boss, my manager down there. I thought, that's it. They're going to kill me. Suffering for Jesus, they're going to shoot me, you know. And you know what's amazing? They said, you know what? We have heard that people are coming with their problems to you. And it's interrupting your output at your job. And we just want to tell your manager and your supervisor not to interrupt at all. Just let it keep going. Isn't that a miracle? Now, I thought, oh, wow, man, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. You know, I didn't know that 10 years later, you know, I would be doing what I'm doing today. God is working in your life, at your job, even with what might appear to be very negative circumstances. He's got you there to shine as a light, to be an awesome employee, so that even the boss himself will come and say, hey man, will you pray for this company? That supervisor I just told you about who had to come down with our manager, I got a call about 6 months ago. And he said, how's it going? I said, well, it's fine. I haven't talked to you like in 4 years. He goes, yeah, I'm working down in San Diego now and just want to let you know something. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And he said, I watched you for 10 years. Now, I'm not tooting my horn, because you're going to tell me you're tooting your horn. I'm tooting God's horn, because I was a bozo. Somehow Jesus worked through me a witness, and my boss got saved, my old boss. And he called me up to tell me, and he said, you know what? He said, I don't know if you know this or not, but I watched you for 10 years. And it made a difference. And I made a commitment to Christ. Listen, don't underestimate what's going on in your life, at your job. What about the neighbor that looks out her window and looks across to your house and says, I don't know what it is about your kids, about your home. I see your husband. I see there just seems to be something there. What is it? That is the most awesome witness that you can have. I don't care if you're employed for DuPont or employed for your children. What is the witness that we're dealing out to the world? But concerning believing bosses, we need to be careful, because what was happening back at Ephesus is this is exactly what was going on. These guys were getting saved. These slaves were getting saved, and they were coming back to their believing bosses, and they were saying, we're one now. We're one in Christ. Isn't that cool? There's no bond or slave. There's no rich man, poor man, master. There's no male, female. We're one. And the boss goes, yeah, praise God, far out. Okay, great. Hallelujah. Let's worship a little bit. And okay, now go plow the field. And the slave would go, now, wait a minute. I don't think you heard my message. And this was really a problem. They said, we're one. And if we're one, then what are you telling me what to do? And listen, if you have a Christian boss and you might know the Bible more than he or she, you don't go in there and say, well, God sent me here to obviously nurture you along in the faith, so why don't you sit down and I'll, no. Spiritually, we're one in Christ. Employer, employee, one in Christ. But our civil duty or our professional duty is not so. We are to submit to even our Christian boss with all fear and reverence, and in fact, work very hard. He says there in verse 2, look what he says. He says, let them not despise them. That word means to look down their nose at. To look down their nose at. To put them down. The Christian employee needs to be careful that he does not look down at his Christian boss. Why? Because they are brethren. But rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. You know what that means basically in our modern day terminology? Hey, if you work for a Christian company and you're a salesman, then sell harder, sell more, sell better. Why? Because your owner, who's a Christian, is going to make more money. Wait a minute. Who cares? You need to care, because if you work hard and promote your Christian boss, guess what? If he's a Christian, you're going to get little kickbacks. You'll get bonuses. You'll get privileges. But that shouldn't be your motive. It should be strictly because he's God's man in that position, and I will work for him, and I will commit my way unto the Lord to the benefit of this company. The Christian employee should be the most tremendous asset that a business has. This shouldn't really shock us concerning our civil duty in Romans chapter 13. And you always have to remember this verse when you get pulled over by a police officer, because that's the context of Romans 13. But it goes for everything else in the way of authority over us. He says there, Paul, in Romans 13, 1, he says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Now, that's hard to swallow. The Bible says that there are no authorities except that which are ordained by God. For there is no authority that is not set up except by God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. Isn't that heavy? Hey, if your business says no prayer meetings, then don't have a prayer meeting. Obey their rules. That doesn't keep you from shooting prayers up in your mind silently. We follow the government even, because it has been ordained by God. And so it's a very important thing to keep in mind. He says there, goes on to say, that we are to teach and to exhort these things. In the Greek, it's actually this: to teach, keep on teaching. To exhort, keep on exhorting. Why? Because we're constantly going to need remembrance of these things. How many of you will wake up tomorrow morning going, oh boy, gosh, it's Monday. I can't wait to just get there and, oh shoot, I'm going to get up and get there like 2 hours early and just wait for the doors to open. I feel a thing in my heart. It's just so neat. I'm going to go be a slave for the, listen, chances are we don't wake up that way. We stand there, man, you know, like me, I get up, you know, and I'm standing there and I get about a 25cc drip of coffee into my veins. Oh God, you know, I have a crutch underneath my chin and my legs and keep on exhorting, keep on teaching that we need to get up and go for our masters because they've been ordained by God. There's a call, there's a pull, there's a commitment. Why? Because the Lord has put you at your job, and when God is done with you at your job, he'll lay you off, or he'll move you on, or he'll bring something better into your life. He really will. He's looking out for you more than you're looking out for yourself, and I know that's hard to believe. And so he goes on now there in verse 3. Now he changes it comes to the second really commitment, and it's the Christian towards false teachers, or really those that promote riotous words, really. And so in verses 3 and 4, he says there, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent, this word means to submit to or to align yourself with. Really, the word implies to be molded. If you're not being molded by these things of godly teaching to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, if you are not doing these things, then you are proud. It says there in verse 4, you are proud. And listen, this word proud, this is exciting. Have you ever heard the word big head? Or how about that dude's all puffed up, man? Or what about hot air? You ever hear that? This is the word. This is where we get this word from in the Greek. It means to be fuming, seething to the point of eruption. And it paints a picture of a pot on a stove, and the lid is just dancing off of the pot with water and stuff steaming out. If you do not consent to these words, what words of verses 1 and 2 and 3, then you are a hothead. You're puffed up. You say, who is this bozo standing up there telling me this stuff? I don't like the Bible anyway. I think it's crazy. Wholesome words, I'm not going to adhere to these words. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do it my way, you know. You're proud. You're puffed up. You're a hothead. You're full of hot air. And I like what, you know, Paul is so subtle. He says in verse 4, you're proud. And you don't know anything. Look at that. You know nothing. I love that. You're empty-headed. You just don't know. You are puffed up. You're full of hot air. If you do not consent to these things, why? Paul's not making these words up. They're the words of Jesus. They're doctrine. They're good. They're godly things for us. He says, you're proud, you don't know anything, but listen, you're really obsessed with disputes. See that word obsessed? That word in the Greek means sickened. It's the word in the Greek, noisan, I believe is how you pronounce it. It's where we get the word nausea. You're nauseous. You ever know anybody like that? They come blazing in, big, they got a hot head, they got a big mouth, and they're just really nauseous. They kind of make you sick, you know? And the word implies in the head, they have nausea of the head. They're a little dingy, but boy, do they think they know everything. They're proud. And Paul says, in reality, they don't know nothing. They know nothing. And they're obsessed with disputes, or better, the word is word battles. You know those kind of people you walk in and you go, what a neat day it is. Well, just exactly what do you mean by that? What kind of a neat day do you have in mind? What does that you mean? And, oh, back off, will you? And they make a big deal out of everything, and quite often they'll always harp on the same things. They got their little pet thing that they just blitz you on all the time. Praise the Lord, brother. Well, let's talk about praising the Lord. You know, oh, come on. You know, the guy's just nitpick, puffed up. It's the worst thing when you see it in the church. Paul says, man, they don't know anything. And what they'll do is they'll teach contrary to what he's been teaching in verse 1 and 2. They'll tell you to go storming into your boss. Hey, I'm a Christian, and I've been praying, and I think you ought to resign, and I ought to run this company. And they begin to shoot their mouth off and promote their own program. They're hotheads, and they come under the guise of Christianity, and Paul's slamming them. Why? I want this to really come home to us right now. Back then, it was slaves. Today, it's employers and employees. How does Christianity affect the slave world then and now? By painting posters and marching down the street and say, free all the slaves? No. You know why? Rome immediately would rise up and kill slaves the moment they raised their head in rebellion. Because of the population of slaves, they would quench them quickly. But in all actuality, Christianity does not change the civil, social arena by activity. Now listen, I am really going against the grain right now. You do not change the world by social activity as a Christian. Jesus teaches us that the gospel comes inside of a man and changes it from the inside out, and it's from the inside out that the social structure's changed. You want people fixed in Los Angeles? You change the man from the inside out. You want to change the nation? Change the people. How do you change the people? God has to change their heart. If you're a slave or if you're an employee, how does God change the company? How does God change the business? By changing your heart. You will work to it a degree that the people of that company will say, who is this girl? Who is this guy? I don't know what their belief is. I'd like to find out, and we will find out, but everybody do it like they're doing it. That's how you change the world, by being changed from the inside out. That's a very serious thing, and it's neglected in this day and age. We have the ACLU now, American Civil Liberties Union, representing children who are suing their parents. Look, there's nothing American about them. They're not civil. They're taking away all of our liberties, and they're not a union. They're wrong. But they're pushing the change of the world from the outside. And they're twisting the laws, and they're perverting America. We need to have our homes, our businesses, our nation changed from the inside out. That's why we've been praying for a revival in America. It's the only thing that's going to work. And so he goes on concerning these puffed up, prideful people who think they know everything, and they are actually nausea in the mind with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling and evil suspicions. One commentator put it this way, that in the Greek world, if you could speak, you were a rich man. They put all their weight on people who could speak. That's why, remember Paul went to Athens there? All of the big talkers were there. And they get up there and they start to put their philosophy over everybody. And they get up there and they just babble. And if you could talk a good talk, you made big money, because what they did is they went from village to village, from town to town, big posters. In fact, one guy, forget his name, His name was Adrian. He was such an incredible speaker that it was recorded, Josephus writes, that when this guy began to speak, the Colosseum and the circus in Greece and Roman area, they would empty. They would empty out of the Colosseum to go run and hear this guy speak. He would speak, I don't know how they did it, but they'd speak up to 80,000 people. This guy'd stand there and open his mouth, and he was paid exorbitant amounts of money to speak. And they came into the church because as the church was growing, they said, hey, there's some money here. And so they came in as a Christian. They wore a little PTL button on their lapel. Or, you know, born again, they had a little fish or a little Maranatha dove. And they came in, oh, praise the Lord, man. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Hey, aren't you one of those big mouth talkers up on the hill? Well, I've been born again, though, you know. And gosh, you know, I'd really love to hear you speak for the Lord. In fact, why don't we just build a, oh, I can't say it, doggone it. Oh, what? Why don't we just build a big church? And I know you were an acid rock and roll drug addict last Tuesday, but come on up and give a message to us. You know, you ever seen that kind of stuff? The guy may have been born again for about 35 minutes and they bring him on in. Well, he's a big name. He's a big name. And everybody views across America. As this guy says, you know, I really love the Lord, and he's great, and he talks an awesome talk, and then 2 weeks later, you see him on TV. I saw this. The guy was talking on this man's religious program, and I stress religious program, and the guy's talking about how the big dodger in the sky is the most wonderful man in the whole world. And then I watched the Monday night baseball game. And this guy stood up to the, listen, this is the day before. The day before, he's on national TV praising Jesus. And the next day, he's on national TV again on ABC Sports with his face right up to an umpire going, you blankety blank, blank, blank. Oh, but I love Jesus. James says, you know what? If salt water comes out of a faucet, you're not going to get fresh water out of it. And if fresh water comes out, you're not going to get salt water out of it. There were people moving into the church with big mouths for gain, for bucks.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the first part of 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul advises the reader on conduct while engaged in our occupations. It's a presentation called Godliness and Contentment. And we'll continue with more in our series through 1 Timothy on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us once again. Now, if Real Radio is part of your routine, we'd like to hear from you. Either call, click, or write. When visiting us at realradioactive.org, just click where it says Send Us a Message. If you'd like to learn what others have written in, click the tab that says Reaction. Again, realradioactive.org. Or get in touch. Our toll-free number 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can do it the traditional way. Write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of that information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.